Yogurulas, welcome to the fourth episode of the Athlete Insider podcast. Today we have a really, really special guest, somebody like a lot of people look up to from you, I know, with over 200,000, like around 200,000 followers on Instagram and YouTube, I combined, and like a really crazy athlete from Ukraine. I'm really happy to be here with you. Welcome, Vitaly.
Welcome. Thanks for the invitation and thanks for taking the interview. It's like really honor to me. And so let's go.
Let's go. Like, perfect. We have two parts of the interview. The first part will be some questions from me, and the second part will be the questions from the community, because there were quite some people who had some questions for you about your planches, about your workout, your nutrition, etc. So we will come to this afterwards. But first, like, situation, you're on a birthday party and somebody approaches you. You don't know this person and this person doesn't know calisthenics. How do you describe what you do, who you are?
Right, so I make new friends, especially if they are not into calisthenics. I usually just prefer to tell that I'm doing sport and I'm into filming. Apart from that, I'm a student of the University of Cinema Arts, and filming is like my main activity. And I don't prefer to call myself, to present myself as a professional calisthenics athlete, and not to talk about something, you know, like serious. But when the person wants me to describe it in details, then I jump deeper and explain more about each activity. So another thing is that I always avoid actually giving my social medias, you know, like Instagram and all of this stuff, to unknown people, like to new friends, because every time they get my you know, like Instagram, they put me high for no reason, just because of the numbers. But I don't mean that I don't want to get the respect. I actually want so much, but in the respect by my human qualities instead of just numbers, you know. So here we go. I'm just be shy and, you know, like, follow myself as just a sportsman and content creator. That's it.
Okay. Because, yeah, I can imagine that many people, like, treat you different if they see your social media account.
100%.
And also because... Yes. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry, bro. My bad. You know, like, it usually annoys that people, like, really get you high because of your, you know, like, numbers. And it doesn't, I don't think that it's not normal. It's normal, but I just don't want the things to be this way. That's it.
Yeah, I get it. Like, when I see the photo you have in at your wall at the World Cup, how old were you?
It's World Championship 2017. That's the only time I went to like this sort of competition. And I think I got the fifth place, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, I was the fifth. It was my first World Street Workout Championship in Moscow. And I was 15 years old, I think.
15?
Yeah, wow. 15.
That's crazy. It's crazy. Really, biggest respect for that. And I'm interested in what kind of childhood do you have to do to be on such a big stage with 15 years old, like when most people are going through the city and playing Pokemon Go or something, and you're like on such a high level. How did you get there?
Right. So my calisthenics career begins from the childhood. I used to grow up in a small Ukrainian city in southern Ukraine, and the only option except for school was just like messing around in the streets with the friends. And I tried my hands on some different sports like football, volleyball, and even free running. And actually, free running was like the most appealing sport for me. I'd just go outside doing some flips for day and just forget about time, you know. And among my friends, among these, you know, like kind of free runners, it was nothing serious, but still. There was one guy who was a member of a local street workout team here in my city. And he insisted me to take it more serious and train harder and to become a calisthenics athlete, because he saw the potential in me, I was able to do some sort of, you know, like muscle ups, maybe some handstands and all of that stuff. But I didn't take it seriously. It was back in the days in 2011. And then in 2012, there was a big competition in my city, like in honor of opening the new calisthenic spot. And the performances of the guys, which I saw like in real life, they blew my mind and I fell in love with this sport. And since that day, from 2012, I've been doing calisthenics for 8 years straight. And that's my favorite sport.
Wow, crazy. So no gymnastics background?
No, bro, it's a common question. I usually get this question. And yeah. The fun thing about that is that I don't even have a gymnastics in my city, no? Wow. So it's impossible for me to practice gymnastics. From one hand, it's like better because street workout is not that, you know, like, street workout is mostly about the community, about, you know, like just traveling around the world and enjoying your life and all of the things. And gymnastics is something like way more serious and you have to devote your health and everything just for one sport. And I'm glad that I'm doing street workout instead of gymnastics. That's it.
Yeah, it's great. And like, it's the first time I hear this difference, like you differentiate between the lifestyle of a gymnast and a street workout athlete. And it's true, like calisthenics and street workout lives from traveling, from making photos in front of monuments on places, etc.
Yes, bro. Yes.
That's great. And like, let's go back to 2011, 2012. How did you start to work out? You had some small fitness background, like fitness, what I mean with like free running. You also have like some strength. But how did you start to work out?
Right, so I came to make friends, make new friends, street workout athletes and all of this stuff, and maybe to join the local team, you know. But I was shy, I didn't expect that so much, so I just came to train with the guys, and they were actually interested in me. My friend introduced me to these guys, and I made some new friends, and they were like, okay, so if you do, I don't remember the number, but maybe like 50 push-ups and 30 dips on the P-bars and something around like 15 pull-ups on the bar. If you do that, then you enter the team. But actually, you know, like it was the first time for them. They were just like make it fun and pretend that they're serious, like team and all of this stuff. So they challenged me. I did that, you know, like so easily. And from that day, I joined the team and started training with them. But actually, most of my trainings were on my own. I was just focusing on YouTube tutorials, and I was gaining the experience by just attempts and by just, you know, like searching for some information on YouTube and the way it is. So they didn't help me that much in learning something, but we were growing up as a community. You know, it's like, it's very different to do street workout in 2012 and the situation that is the current situation of calisthenics, you know, it's not comparable because, in 2012, you don't have such goals, you know, like to be a world champion or all of that stuff. You just share the moments with the guys and do your stuff to be better physically and to grow up as a community, and that's it. And now, if you start calisthenics, you kind of realize that you have the possibility to travel around the world and compete in some international camps. So, that was like a tough period, but I went through it, and my patience and my love to this sport really like brought me to the person which I am now.
Awesome. Yeah. It's funny that they just like made up a challenge for you to join the team. So you started with basics in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
like with push-ups, pull-ups, dips.
Yep. So I've been doing basics for like a couple of years, maybe like 1.5 year But apparently I was like learning some elements, for example, like handstand push-ups, one-arm pull-up, and all of that stuff. And then I started learning like planche, you know, but my road to planche was so weird because it wasn't like constantly, I wasn't constantly progressing. I was just, you know, like focusing on that element for a couple of weeks. Then I postponed this element and focused on, you know, like other stuff. And because of that, I used to, you know, like learn that element from zero, like maybe five times. And somehow it became so annoying to me that I can't get this element. I can't get planche. And I decided to train constantly and not to skip my trainings and focus only on one element. So after 3 months, I was able to hold a real straddle planche for like 3-4 seconds. And I was super happy because it was so surprising for me. I didn't even expect the result to be like that fast, you know. And that's it, basically.
Okay, so it shows like basically from your experience that if you do a move but you don't do it to 100% long term, you won't achieve it and you will lose it again and again. But if you commit fully, you will get it.
Exactly. But at the same time, I did a mistake. I was focusing only on planche. Like I got that element, and so like after that, I was doing only planches and handstands, and I was lack of front lever strength and all of this like pull strength. So I recommend everybody to like focus on different elements, but to train constantly, to be like a, you know, like not just strong at one specific element, but to be complete athlete. So that's it.
Did you start with dynamics right from the beginning, or was it something that came later?
It was something that didn't exist for like a couple of years. For the first years of my career, we used to watch like, you know, like all of these old beasts, all of these static beasts, and just train static and all of these strange moves. We didn't even know that there were some like moves of dynamic and all of this stuff. And so when it's became popular in around like 2015, maybe, yeah, I started like doing some basic stuff like 360s, and from the first time I wasn't happy about this, you know, like innovation in our sport, because it was something completely different from the statics, completely different from the things that I love, for which I love this sport. But after that, I realized that if I don't train dynamics and if I don't mix that thing with the statics, then I'll just do it for myself and I won't, you know, like go for some big comps. So there was no like choices. And I started practicing dynamics. And after that, I realized that it's even, you know, like, from time to time, it's even more interesting than just doing statics. So now I realized if you put these two things together, then it's more interesting. And there are some days that you feel like you can do a lot of statics, and there are some days that you can, on the contrary, do some more dynamic moves. So it's even better for the training process because of the varieties and all of this stuff. So something like that. From first time, I was like shocked and I didn't like dynamics, but nowadays all of the guys, and including me, we are through in all of this stuff together.
Okay, so if you could choose that street workout competitions don't have dynamics or yes, so no dynamics or dynamics included, what would you choose?
I would choose statics and dynamics, bro.
Okay, cool.
That's something that you can't, you know, like put off. That's the whole, that's all of these things mixed together. This is one sport and it can't be, calisthenics can't be without dynamics or without statics. It's all like one thing that we love so much.
Okay. Where did you start to work out? Like this team, where did they train? Did they train outside in a park, or was it also inside in a hall or something?
Right. So when I was into free running, I didn't care that much, you know, so I was just throwing my flips and all of this stuff. But then when I started doing calisthenics, we had the calisthenics spot, the new calisthenics spot, as I told you, which was opened in 2012. So the real struggle was like the winter period, because winter in Ukraine is like super crazy. We can have like minus 10, minus 15 degrees and snow and all of this stuff, which is basically, which basically leads to struggle and challenging times, challenging periods of training. So we used to practice at home and practice at fitness gyms, you know, like with all of this powerlifting stuff, which was actually not about calisthenics, but we used to go to these gyms and do some static moves right here and just do whatever not to drop the skills, you know, during the winter period. And it actually played a huge role in my static progress. So usually in when it comes to winter period, I usually like do some planches, front lever, handstands, whatever. So that's it.
Do you also support your workout with weights, like weighted calisthenics or street workout, but also like fitness, like bodybuilding weights?
I used to do it when I was maybe like 13, 12 years old. I used to do it from when I was starting calisthenics, like for first couple of years. I don't know. It was just because of my curiosity, you know, nothing more. But currently, I'm just working with my weight without any, you know, like additional weight. So, no, just freestyle and all of the moves that requires only my body, and that's it.
Okay, because I guess many people are asking, A, is it possible to get such a physique like that you have without weights? And also B, is it possible to make so much progress without any weights? So you would say yes in both cases.
I would say that it's not that simple, you know. It depends on the genetics. So my genetics is like kind of, I don't know. So if you, for example, tall and thin, like from the day that you were born, you know, like, it's hard to explain, but it all comes to genetics, you know. So somehow I did my body just using, you know, like just doing calisthenics. But for other guys who are much taller and whom genetics is not that, you know, like is not similar, it might be a real challenge to you know, like to grow physically without any additional weight. So it depends only on genetics. That's what I can say.
Okay.
If you really see that you've been doing calisthenics for like 4 years, 5 years, and you don't see like a real progress in your physics, you know, physical progress, so maybe that's the reason that your genetics is not that good for that. Actually, when I started calisthenics, I didn't even have the goal to, you know, like I didn't have any body goals. And till now, I don't want to be like big or something. I'm just focusing on freestyle, static and dynamic movements, and that's it. So I don't do calisthenics to become bigger, but somehow I managed to build such body because of my genetics.
Okay. Because you just answered two questions from the community, from IMGiro and JDKen24. Do you think your genetic helped you to become the beast that you are now? And
You know, like, yeah, definitely yes. But the percentage of, you know, like hard work and my genetics is like 70 and 30, 70% of like hard work and 30% of genetics, because I'm not a tall person. I'm 168 centimeters. My height is 168 centimeters. I don't know how much feet is that. Maybe like five and five or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know. Like I'm not a tall person. So yeah, it definitely helps. It definitely helped me to improve my aesthetics. For example, if you're like 180 centimeters high, then it's much high, then it's much like harder to achieve like a huge aesthetics. But actually there are such beasts and I respect them so much, and I understand how hard is that for them to achieve like the same planche, let's say the same planche. So I can learn planche in like 3 or 4 months, and for some people it takes like for 2 years, maybe like even more, you know. So I respect the guys who are much taller than me and whom genetics is like not that, who doesn't, you know, like these guys who don't fit the calisthenics genetics. So I think that, yeah, a certain percentage is like of my success in calisthenics is because of the genetics, right? That's like undoubtable.
It's like in many cases, like a lot of people have some potential from the genetics, from their background, anything. But if you don't work for it, it's useless. Like if you don't put the work on top of the genetics, it's worthless. And that's something that you did. You worked hard.
Yeah, bro. You know, like that, I think like this way. If you think that your genetics is not for street workout, so it's not a good excuse to like go and shout on the each corner that you're not, you know, like the best person to do street workout and all of this stuff. Because if I go to basketball and tell to these guys that, oh, okay, you're better than me in basketball only because you're taller, then it doesn't make sense, you know, like it's pointless. So the same question, so the same stuff happens in street workout. If you feel like you're genetically not, if it doesn't fit genetically to calisthenics, then don't do it, you know, like if that doesn't make you happy. So
that's a good thing, because of course it's harder, but if you are not willing to put the extra work in it, then it's not the right sport for you, because you will whine and you will cry like the whole time. That's like a good point. I respect that. Yeah. What's your current weight?
My current weight is 65 kilograms, kgs. I don't know how much LBS did that.
Like
65
a little bit more than a double of it. It's like, I guess it's like 140 something LBS. Yeah. And like to maintain your physique, do you follow a diet plan? What is your diet like?
No, bro. What? No, not at all. I eat a lot of like, you know, sweet products and all the cakes and all of this stuff, all of the biscuits. And I don't know, like it's impossible for me to keep the diets. I love to eat so much. And yeah, I'm just, you know, like focusing on my trainings only, not on diet. But if you want to build, you know, like raw body and all of this stuff, you definitely should keep the diet and search up for the information and all of this stuff. That's really important. But in my case, I don't care about my body, you know, like that much. So I eat just whatever I want.
Okay, that's a good thing. Do you think it will become harder when you get older?
Sorry, bro?
Do you think it will become harder when you get older with nutrition, with keeping the physique?
Gotcha question. Yeah, definitely. But I'm ready to take this challenge and to keep going, to keep, you know, like working harder and I won't put the age as an excuse, because I love this sport so much. And I understand that if I'm going to be like 20, 23, even 25, you know, like all of this stuff, if I'm going to be 25 years old, it's not going to be the same as the way it is right now when I'm 18. It's like the peak of my career, you know, because my body. But you know, like from the other hand, who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know, like I'm ready to take all of the challenges that I'm not gonna be I'm not gonna have as much as energy as I have now. So I think, yeah, it's gonna be harder, but I definitely don't plan to quit from the game and to, like, you know, disappear from calisthenics. I'll just keep going.
That's good. Maybe it's like a thing like with the height. If you're tall and you take it as an excuse, maybe it's the same thing with age. Like, you, of course, you have to put in maybe a little bit more work, maybe a little bit more focus on the diet, but you can still achieve big goals and not take it as an excuse.
Exactly, bro. Yeah.
What would you say is the hardest move you've learned so far?
If it comes to dynamics, maybe it's the side flip re-grab. You've probably seen that on my previous video, Instagram video. And when it comes to statics, maybe it's different variations of Maltese or narrow grip planches. I don't know. I don't have one like the strongest static element. But obviously, I'm much stronger in planches than in other static moves, but I don't have the specific, like, strongest element in my spectrum of skills, no.
Okay. But let's take, like, the narrow planche, for example. How did you go, like, how did you work out to get there?
Right. So the fun thing about the narrow grip planche, it's kind of my style, my thing, that I can do like on the high level, I think. So the thing is that these narrow grip planches are not that hard for me. They can be, from time to time, they can be even either easier than the normal planche for me, you know, like especially in 2018, I remember it was like to do a narrow grip full planche, it was like easier for me than to hold a normal full planche. So that is just because I love that grip. I love narrow grip handstands, and out of that, I tried to do some like new planches and all of this stuff in 2016, if I am not mistaken. Yeah, and I don't know. Somehow it turned like in my specific elements, in my specific combinations. Just because I love this grip, I don't know. I practiced like really a lot of narrow grip full planches and straddle and narrow grip handstand and all of this stuff. Just because I love it and I love the feeling of holding that element, I don't know, just like my favorite element, you know. When I'm holding it, I don't know, like I feel that this is much easier for me and this is much more interesting for me than the regular forms of this element. So somehow, yeah, I trained like those planches, and it can be even easier for me than the normal planche.
Okay. So do you want to share how you get there? Maybe like from the moment you got your straddle planche in like 2012 or around there, how did you get to the maybe full planche, like to the next step? What is your workout to get there?
Right, so when I got my first straddle planche, then I focused on some variations like planche press, planche push-ups, and all of this stuff. And even though I didn't have much experience back in the days, I realized that I want go to the full planche like directly after straddle planche because I needed to practice. I needed to improve my straddle planche so that I can hold it, you know, like for 50 seconds, for 15 seconds without any shaking and all of this stuff. So if you guys want to learn the full planche and you can hold a straddle planche, then you better focus on the form of your straddle planche and to bring that, you know, like, to bring that element into the new level, to hold like it longer and to do some sort of push-ups and to do some varieties like press and all of this stuff. And so when you feel like confidence in straddle planche, you'll just try the full planche and maybe hold it for 2-3 seconds. And if you feel your straddle planche like so confident and so I don't know how to say If you feel confident in straddle planche, then you can enter to the full planche. That is just, you know, like the question of your feelings. If you don't feel so, then keep improving your keep improving the easier operation. That's it.
Okay. Nice. Did you have any problems with injuries?
Yeah, bro. And fun fact is that my serious injury wasn't connected with the calisthenics. It was connected with doing flips. Yeah. I used to do a lot of back flips in 2016, and I hurt my abs, and it really stopped me from training. It really made me stop, you know, like, and be out of trainings for like 2 months, maybe 3 months. And every single element that I tried to do, especially front lever or, you know, like human flag or even the L seat, it was so painful for me because my abs hurt, and I didn't even, you know, like realize the how did I get that injury. But somehow I came to the point that I used to do a lot of backflips, because when I healed from that injury and I tried the backflip, I felt that pain like one more time. But currently I'm able to do like any elements, including like backflips and all of this stuff, and I don't hurt my abs. But from time to time, if I train too much front levers, I can feel the pain, a little pain in my abs, and that is not the best feeling so far. So yeah, that was just one, you know, like huge injury in my life. And apart from that, of course, I had some like small injuries of wrists, shoulders, and all of this stuff, but it was nothing serious. So
you just rested and then it was gone.
And so I did actually some, I actually went to hospital to like check if everything is okay with my abs and all of this stuff. So yeah, I'm 100% healthy. And you know, like, it's fun that when I started calisthenics in 2012, it was all, you know, like under the mind of healthy lifestyle and all of this stuff. Maybe even now some people say that street workout and calisthenics is about healthy lifestyle. I think this point is not that clear, because actually when you train freestyle professionally and when you compete in some big events, then it's not healthy lifestyle at all. Like, no, it all connected with you know, like injuries, and that's not, you know, like this. That's definitely not the healthy lifestyle, you know. So from one point, it makes you strong physically, but from another, the way it is in gymnastics, you know, it makes you like really, really unconfident about your injuries and all this stuff.
Yeah. It's like most sports, in my opinion, become unhealthy when you do them to the max for performance, and you don't listen to your body anymore because the success screams louder. It's difficult, I can imagine. Yeah, somebody asked, like, TXLJ Street Workout asks, how do I prevent calluses with freestyle, like the ripped hands, etc.?
Oh, actually, that's kind of interesting question. I used to struggle with that through that problem, like, a lot. The first advice is to cut your, you know, like, ribs from each session. And the second advice is not to push your freestyle, not to push your dynamics to max, you know, like during sessions, maybe like first 20, 25, maybe first half an hour of the training, you do like dynamics and statics. And after that, only like statics. And after that, your hands will get used to that. And so you will be able to train freestyle like for longer time. Like, currently, I don't have such, you know, like, I don't have such problems just because my hands got used to that, and I cut my ribs like from each session. That's it.
So you mean with that you cut off the skin that looks?
Yeah.
Okay. David Vasquez asks, how long do you train each day and what is your training split?
Right, so basically I train in turn, like one day I rest and the next day I train. My training is basically consists of first hour I do statics plus dynamics, you know, like just competition combos, all of that stuff. Then I train only statics and for like half an hour, and the last minutes, the last like half an hour of my session, I pick up only one static element and practice till I'm done, you know. Yeah. So at the end of the training, I just pick one static element and doing all of this, you know, like exercises. For example, front lever. If I take front lever at the end of the session, I do like front raises, you know, like tuck front lever pull-ups and all of this stuff. If we talk about planche, I just doing full planche presses and hold till max and maybe some push-ups. Yeah.
So you still do basics, because I think a lot of people who are not that advanced, like a lot of people neglect basics, I guess. I think it's my opinion, but do you still do basics?
Yeah, from time to time I do basics, basically for front lever, because you can't be strong in front lever if you don't do like, you know, muscle ups, pull ups at the end of the session and all of this stuff. I noticed that, you know, like usually the guys who are into basics, they can hold front lever like easily. Didn't you notice that? So from this point, basics really helps for front lever and for, you know, like one arm pull ups and all of this stuff, which is like so useful for the comps. So yeah, from time to time I do push-ups, muscle-ups, maybe even some dips on the p-bars just to keep my, you know, like form. But a couple of years ago I didn't have that thoughts in my mind, and I was just throwing freestyle and without any basics, but currently I'm doing it from time to time.
Okay. Do you still have a role model? That's what I am Zaknio asks. Do you have like an athlete that's still a role model for you?
I don't think so. I have friends who inspires me in calisthenics, but you know, like there is no specific person in my life yet who is like, who inspires me like at scale. I have some, you know, like friends who inspires me in each topic, for example, videography, music, and you know, like some sort of calisthenics, but I don't have like only one person, especially in calisthenics, who is like really a role model to me. I don't know like how to explain that, but actually I get motivated from music and from music artists, even more from calisthenics. So just like the way it is, I don't have a role model at all.
Okay. Do you ever get bored or lack motivation, and how do you deal with it? Is Panagiotis who asks this.
Yes, sure. Like for sure. Like practically every week, I have kind of sessions when I don't feel myself like at 100%. Maybe I don't even have the strength to like, you know, like to train, like to do a simple. To do some simple combos, and I fail from time to time, like, you know, simple moves. And every time it happens, I realize that I'm a sportsman, I'm a professional sportsman, and it's normal to you know, like to fail sometimes and not to be in the form. It depends on the day. It depends on many factors. If I, for example, slept well, if I ate well this day, and if I'm in a good mood or in a bad mood. So I take it easy, and usually when I'm not able to, you know, like through some hard elements, I'm just putting my favorite music and do some like easy elements and just try to enjoy and keep away the negative thoughts, because when you know, like it's so hard to be always, you know, like emotional during the training and splitting the positive vibes. But I try my best to not to, you know, like stop training for no reason, but just to keep the positive thoughts in my mind and just to keep going, even if it's like not that, even if I don't want to do that at the very moment, you know. So the key is to keep your training and to train constantly, like every session, put your efforts to the max and not giving a fuck about, you know, like be bad mood and all this stuff, because that won't lead you to success, you know.
Okay. Then I have somebody, Antlon, who asks why you're not posting that much, even though your content is really, really nice. And that's something that I know you like this question, or that you will like to answer this question.
Yeah. All right. So I've been developing myself as a content creator, as a filmmaker for like 3 years straight from 2017. And I'm actually a student of a University of Cinema Arts. And when it comes to content, I become so self-critical, and I can't let myself to put out an average video or like a bad shot just to keep my Instagram active, you know. So I have like, you know, like the thought in my mind. So if I put out a new video, either on Instagram or on YouTube, it should be better in three aspects. The first one is calisthenics level. I should show a new calisthenics level, a new skills, a new combos, and all of this stuff. The second aspect is videography. And the third one is editing. So if each of these aspects like really satisfies me at all, then I put out the video. And then, you know, like every time I vanish from Instagram or YouTube for like 2 or 3 months, everybody is like, oh, he disappeared from that, you know, like from that content life. He disappeared from calisthenics at all. So he maybe dropped some skills and all this stuff. And then I put out the video with the new level, and they get so emotional. And so that's what makes me, you know, like happy. And that's what I don't want to say that I depend on other opinions, but still, like, it makes me happy to put out the new video with the whole new level, with the whole, like, you know, like videography, calisthenics, and editing. And it makes me happy just, you know, like, because of the fact that I put out something new and it's really on the new level. So that's my opinions on the content creating.
Like a question that I have, do you think you could be even more like bigger on social media if you wouldn't be that perfectionist and like putting out more content? Or do you think it's you're doing your like, yeah, just.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the right point. I could be like even bigger on the social medias, especially on Instagram. I feel it like at scale, you know, but I don't think that those numbers which I could have will lead me to happiness. So I focus only on the things that I love. For example, if I love to put only quality content and only like showing the new level and all of this stuff, it makes me happy. Even though I have these 168,000 followers instead of like million or like, no, like half of million, that makes me happy that I still put out the content that I love, and I'm still enjoying the process. And people feel that the same way, and that's why they follow me and get motivated by my videos, I think.
When you post a video, do you do it for you or for the audience or for the followers?
No, it's like 50-50. Of course, if I'm gonna tell that I don't care about other people's opinions at all, then I will lie. You know, everybody cares about it, but from the other hand, I do it for myself too, because when I try to make the better video, to make better video than the previous one, I still grow up as a calisthenics athlete, and I, you know, like learn some new elements, and I even though I'm I be, I even become aggressive because I don't, you know, like, because I fail something or the combination is too hard for the Instagram and all of this stuff. Even though I have such moments, at the end of the day, I put out the new like product with the new level, and that makes me happy that I did it. Even though, you know, like, I didn't post in a while, like, I wasn't active on my Instagram for a couple of months. So that basically makes me happy, and that's why I'm doing it such way.
Wow, that's inspiring, because I see a lot of people who do social media only for the people outside out there, because they think, oh, like, this challenge will get the most views, this thing, like, and you, like, when I watch your feed, I see that you post a lot of stuff. Like, for example, the last post you did, you said, yeah, it's quite artistic, like it won't get the most views, but it was a project of your heart, like how I understood it. Maybe you wanted to go deeper.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, actually, I wanted to just to shoot like commercial and all of this stuff, but then I saw this location and I just dropped some, you know, like, ideas in my mind, and I was like, wow, I'm gonna do it just for art, just to like to put out and to get like maybe 14,000 likes instead of just like 30 or 25 and all of this stuff. But I'm gonna put out the content that I love like so much, and that's gonna be something different. But from the other hand, you know, like, I respect those guys who are so active on their social medias, who post like practically every day, because that's hard work too. And I realized that everybody is on a different situation, and maybe some people just need to make money and to make their living like of calisthenics, you know, like, there are different situations. So I respect each content creator who is doing the things that makes him happy. So I don't want to say that I'm doing like things correctly, or this is true, or this is like false. I'm just focusing on the happiness, you know. This kind of strategy makes me happy. And for example, for the other guys, posting like 2 times a day is more preferable. So I don't know. I have a respect for all the community. So here we go.
That's great. Awesome. Like, we're coming to an end. These were the best questions that we received. And I still have at the end some quick questions that you can answer quick. So what do you prefer, pizza or burger?
Burger.
Burger.
Definitely.
Okay. Are you a dog or a cat person?
No, sorry.
Do you prefer dogs or cats as an animal at home?
I actually prefer dogs, but I have a cat, so I'm going to go with the cat.
Poor cat. Yeah. I would like to have a dog. Sorry, cat. Yeah, man.
Nothing personal.
Okay. Your favorite location for holidays you've been at, or just traveling?
Mountains, like, definitely.
Any specific mountains you've been at?
No, just like whatever. No, if it's mountains, then it's good.
What would you work as if social media just disappeared, like the whole, like, no Instagram, no Facebook, no YouTube?
I just keep training and keep filming, you know, like, for different platforms, maybe for not internet, but for some, like, you know, like, other sources. I would just like keep going, you know, with my passions for filming and for calisthenics, and I would just do the same thing but for other platforms and for other reasons.
Okay. Your favorite calisthenics athlete? Yeah, we kind of had that, but maybe you still have.
Okay, so can I call the like top three in my opinion?
Yeah.
Who motivate me at scale? All right. So the first one is Victor Alendis. I'm not saying that those guys are like the best, the most complete athletes in the world, but I'm just counting the athletes who inspire me at scale. So Victor Alendis inspires me so much in statics, especially in front lever and full planche. Then the second one, Daniel Slizens. he's actually pretty good at content creating and all of this stuff. Apart from that, super strong in statics and dynamics at the same time. He's super complete athlete, and the way he put his style on his performances, I call this not just calisthenics, it's something like between art and sport. The third one, all right, I'm a bit confused. The third one would be, I would say, Viktor Kamenev, because the way he put, you know, like statics of calisthenics to the next level motivates me so much. And recently I rewatched, I watched some videos of Ultimate Battles 3 all back in the days in 2017. And I realized that this guy made a huge impact in calisthenics, especially in statics. So yeah, he is the person to get the motivation from. So this would be my top three, just, you know, like out of my current thoughts.
Okay. What was the best calisthenics event you've been at so far?
Actually, I have two best calisthenics events in my life. It's Ultimate Battles, three and four. Yes, Ultimate Battles 2 and 3, and the World of Bar Heroes Cup in Cologne, Germany. It was really tough and definitely one of the greatest competition in my life.
Nice. Last year, right? From 2019. Yeah. Perfect. So, Leno, one last question, but I already know the answer. Dynamics or statics?
Statics.
Statics. Okay, perfect. So before we come to an end, how can people get in touch with you? How do they find you on social media?
If you mean to get some advices or all of that stuff, I try actually to answer all of the questions on my Instagram. If they are constructive and if I feel like the guy who asked me the question is really interested in calisthenics and the question is really, you know, like makes sense, then I answer the question, and I always try to push the guys to the next level and to point on their mistakes and to, you know, like share some experience. So you can either write me on Instagram, or if it's a commercial offer, then you can write me on mail, which is under my Instagram.
Perfect. So thanks everyone for listening until the end. It's like, again, a really long interview, and I really respect everyone who's listening so much, but I think it was a really, really inspiring one. Thanks, Vitaly Melnyk, for being here. Thanks for taking the time. And before I leave you the last words to say goodbye to the audience, if you like this episode, leave a comment down below who you want to be interviewed next, or if you have any additional questions to Vitaly that he can answer or that we can maybe answer in a second episode if there are a lot of questions. So thanks, everyone. And thanks, Vitaly, for being here. You have
thank
the last
you,
words.
Thank you for having me. I definitely had a good time here. And I'm so glad to be a part of this project. Thank you. Peace.
Awesome.
Yeah.